station. Now, another exciting hour of the Tom Abraham Show. Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Really rather not have any more questions about, is it okay to lose this game? It's never okay to lose a game.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
I am the champ that runs the camp. Showtime! Woo!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, here's Tom Abraham.
And I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that.
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Getting hour number two of the Tom Abraham Show on a President's Monday, a Reaction Monday going here, three bells straight up. Glad that you are with us. We will get the phone lines open up in a little bit, but joining us now as he does each and every week from CBS Sports Radio, you hear him right here every night that there's not a game conflicting with it. He is the one and only. And how are you, man?
I'm doing good, big dog. What's going on?
I got to ask you honestly now, because I know you're an NBA guy. There are times when I really get into the NBA, mostly in that two-month season that we call the playoffs. But how much of that did you watch last night at that NBA All-Star game?
I watched the second half in its entirety, although I will admit that CNN was running an episode. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Last night, NBC was running its 90th anniversary episode. Yeah. So I tuned back and forth as NBC News was getting kind of applauded and we're looking at some historical moments at SNL. So I got to be honest, during a couple of those stretches where there was not a lot of interest or excitement, I was flipping back and forth. And I don't know if I would describe myself anymore as an NBA guy. I mean, I respect the league. I enjoy the league. But I definitely understand where a weekend like this, what we just had, was kind of a dud, really.
I see. I think the league is in a great spot with the young stars. I think it's tremendous that we don't have guys, you know, we're not seeing a lot of guys. The biggest stars in the NBA are not guys that are thugs, that are getting arrested, that are, you know, we're having all kinds of issues with. We have some really great guys in the NBA, and there are some guys that are first-rate individuals, and I think the play has been fantastic. But it is so obvious, forget about the All-Star game right now, it is so obvious the difference in regular season NBA basketball, especially in February, and the playoffs, the level of intensity. I mean, it's like a NASCAR race in the middle of the race where guys are just cutting laps. That's what I feel like I'm watching during a regular NBA game. But what we saw last night, I mean, that's just embarrassing. That's flat out embarrassing. A 400-point game like that, everybody just standing around. This is worse than the Pro Bowl. This is certainly worse than the baseball All-Star game. And the NHL had to go to that 3-on-3 tournament. To be honest with you, I'd love to see a 3-on-3 jumping jack tournament with NBA players before watching that, what we watched last night. That's embarrassing.
We're getting closer to that after last night, because by the end of that broadcast, you heard Marv Albert and Reggie Miller discussing and kind of complaining about the lack of intensity and lack of defense, and that this was truly an exhibition game more so than a lot of years past. And that kind of resonates, especially with Marv. Marv isn't one to just complain for complaining's sake. You know, Reggie has, like a lot of these old players from the 80s and 90s, it was back better in my day, and yeah, Thus our era was the best. So I kind of felt a little bit of that from Reggie, but from Marv, I thought that was pretty notable. And well, we're all used to bad defense in All-Star games. Last night was very specifically bad because there was absolutely no effort to even kind of try and disguise it as defense.
Right.
It was more Harlem Globetrotters than anything, and that was a little weird to watch. So, yeah, I mean, when Steve Kerr is kind of griping about it a little bit, and you know everybody else is today, I think the NBA is going to have to look into that. And then post game, when TNT was kind of discussing, like, what can we do to fix it? You don't usually hear that discussion on the telecast of the network that broadcasts it.
Right.
following the event. So, I kind of wonder if last night was a bit of a tipping point.
Yeah, it reminds me of a few years ago when Roger Goodell said, that's it, we're going to kill it. If we don't do this or that, we're gonna kill the Pro Bowl. And remember the Pro Bowl, we had like the first few plays of a game a few years ago where the defense wasn't even rushing. I mean, they would just kind of stand up. They would, like, the ball would be snapped and they'd stand up. And you're right, last night, I'm not saying you got to be, you know, D-ing everybody up and hand-checking and everything else, but there should be, like, a man next to every man. You know what I mean? I mean, how about jog up and down the court, not walking, and just kind of have a guy on a guy. There were just guys standing around outside the arc while teams were executing alley-oops and layups and things like that. And it was, I don't know how you play like that. It's just in any game, once you go out on the court, the field, or the ice, you would think there would be some degree of personal pride. And even at halftime, when there had been 200 points scored in the first half combined, even at halftime, you know, they were saying, well, Kevin Durant was, yeah, we're going to pick it up in the fourth quarter. No, they didn't. They never picked it up. It was just disgusting. And I would love to see a 3-on-3 like they did in the NHL. Maybe there'd be some pride if they broke into 3-on-3s and did a jumping jack tournament with games to 21 or something.
Yeah, and, you know, the only hope at a game like that last night is if it's close late and then guys want to win the game and so you see some decent action. But because it was a 10-point game, you know, there wasn't even that. And, I think it's an important point that you bring up. We're living in a generation in the era of the NBA where the best players are the best guys. I mean, you never hear anything bad about LeBron or Kevin Durant or Steph Curry. You know, all of these guys who are elevating the league to the next level are all really good, decent human beings for what we understand. What we complain about is how they handle themselves on the court and in the media and stuff like this. But, I mean, largely really good guys. So it's kind of a shame because that weekend is a really great showcase for those guys and for the talent that the NBA has and for that generation. But, yeah, last night is – I can't imagine last night excited anybody. And in more cases than not, it just felt like kind of a waste of 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And that's a bad way to end off that weekend, because that really just should be a celebration of how good the talent is and how exciting the play can be. And I'm also with you on the regular season versus the postseason. The NBA playoffs are excellent. Every single game is excellent. Mm-hmm. But, man, the 82-game slog of the regular season, I mean, it just is very difficult for me to care about any part of it, because every game feels like it totally doesn't matter. And some nights you get good effort. Some nights you just have these guys going, hey, let's lock it in until April. And when you have a coach like Greg Popovich, who's one of the best ever, suggesting, hey, that's the best way for us to play it, I mean, that kind of inherently is a problem in the NBA.
Damon Amendola, CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, in Popovich's case, I mean, he would routinely, you know, sit stars and not even take them, you know, on trips to Miami and things like that, where it would be a marquee game. He didn't care if it was a TNT game, an ESPN game. It didn't matter. He would sit guys, and that would just be, you know, whatever they need to do. In fact, one of the best seasons ever in recent memory, remember several years ago, now I was going to say a few years ago, but several years ago when they had the 50-game season, when they started in January and had that 50-game season, that was a great season. I mean, it was like a sprint. Every game mattered, and then, you know, right into the playoffs. You know, that was tremendous.
Yeah, it's that breakneck speed where, because these guys are so good, and when the NBA is really good, I mean, it's really, really fascinating to watch. But there's just such an incentive now to not go all out for 90% of your season. I mean, it's just, you know, unless you're out of the playoffs or really desperately trying to jockey for avoiding a certain team at the end of the season in a playoff matchup, or needing to get home field advantage, home court advantage in the first round or something, there's almost no incentive to ever go all out because you've got to spread it out over 82 games. And, you know, it just 82 is just too much. And I know it's a difficult thing for owners to want to bite the bullet on, and players, I'm guessing, don't want to either if it means less revenue for them. But, I mean, if you had a 52-game regular season, or, I mean, anything around that, it would just feel like every game was far more important. I mean, you know, we got Durant against Oklahoma City, and that passes in the night just because
all that's built around is whether there's animosity or not. But the game itself really doesn't matter for either one of those clubs, and that's really problematic.
Yeah, and by the way, as we mentioned, good guys. I mean, it goes deeper than the guys you mentioned. You can mention dozens, but, I mean, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, two more big-time players. Never hear of these guys ever getting in trouble. And in Waco, what went on in Madison Square Garden with Charles Oakley, and then Charles Barkley weighing in on it, and we remember some of the antics of Charles Barkley and some of the things that he did off the court when he was a young a younger man. And then to see the Knicks actually recognize Latrell Sprewell, you know, I mean, the guy that choked his coach. We don't have that anymore in the league. So that part of it is great. And one of the good guys is young Anthony Davis, who scored 52 points in that mess last night. But he gets paired now with one of the guys that if there is a Terrell Owens out there right now, maybe it's DeMarcus Cousins. So we get Boogie and the Brow in New Orleans. A great matchup. Some people say this is the second coming of Duncan and Robinson. The only thing is Duncan and Robinson had Popovich. I love Elvin Gentry. But Duncan and Robinson were also above reproach in terms of character guys. Davis, I feel, is that way. I don't know so much about Boogie that way, but what do you think about how much did the Pelicans elevate themselves now with DeMarcus Cousins joining Anthony Davis?
Well, it's interesting because I think there's two sides of this. To me, the price was right for the Pelicans to make that move. I just don't think they gave up too much, certainly, to get Boogie Cousins for a season plus. And I also understand that this is a big swing for the fences. I mean, if this works big. If they sell Boogie on wanting to stay there, they end up having Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, two of, let's say, at least the top 10 players of the NBA. But in any given season, they could be both top three or top five MVP candidates. To have both of those guys at the same team is really, really exciting. I just worry about it working because DeMarcus Cousins, I think, needs a really stable, well-run, responsible organization with consistency and expectations, and this is how we do things. The Pelicans just aren't that, and I think Anthony Davis searches for that as well. You know, who are we? Who is my second best player? Who is my head coach? And these are types of things that I think always sink franchises that try to go for the big splash. So if I'm the Pelicans, I mean, I definitely make this deal. I like what they gave up to get him. There's a part of me, though, that just feels like this won't end well as well, because as great and as talented as Cousins is, when you splash these two guys together, they're both bigs. Of course, they'll move Anthony Davis to a true four. But I think you really need really organized leadership and expectations, and I don't think that they have it in New Orleans, and I wonder if they get it.
That's a good point. Damon Amendola with us from CBS Sports Radio. All right, DA, a couple of other notes. Spring training, baby. I mean, games start this week. It's just such a special time of year. I know a lot of people, you know, pass on baseball, don't pay attention to baseball. I still think it's our national pastime. I don't think it's our national passion, but I do think it's our national pastime. And again, we are in such a great spot in baseball with the young stars that we have right now. It's as good as ever. And I don't know about you, man, but I know I'll have on in the studio spring training games and things like that. It's just something about it, man. It's just something about it that kind of renews you each year, your sporting soul, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, especially in places where it's cold. I mean, you know, up here in New York, we've had a great run of weather, obviously, over the last couple of days. But when you have, wintry, icy, cold, miserable winters that extend forever, and you just see those first images from Arizona or Florida, and the grass is green, and the sky is blue, and guys are throwing baseballs in the midst, man. You just hear that pop, a crack of the bat. I love it. I just it's part of the soundtrack of what I love about sports. And I think you're right. I think baseball's in a great situation in terms of its stars and what it has is young 20-something players to build around. It was what we were talking about last week. It is how do you grab the attention of people to pay attention to those guys? Because baseball has always been very poor at marketing its individual stars. But in terms of having baseball back, yeah, I really love this time of year because of that, because of, March Madness kicking up now. You've got those afternoon games, whether it's spring training or whether it's a little March Madness or conference tournament action. And, you know, kind of wakes you up after the slumber of the winter.
Yeah, and I think that it would be you know, there's a lot of people picking Red Sox, Cubs. Red Sox, that lineup is ridiculous. You just look at it and you say, where are the holes? You know, you just can't find it. They're pitching, you know, you bring in Chris Sale, and he's shown as the two or the three in that rotation, which, you know, because they've got the Cy Young winner in Porcello, and they've got David Price in there. I mean, it's just, it's embarrassing, an embarrassment of riches for them. But it just seems like when you think this, in baseball or any other sport, Cubs look automatic, Red Sox look automatic. This is where all get out goes crazy. I mean, this is where you get a completely different kind of season. So you wonder where that storyline will come from.
I agree. I'm not sold on either one of those teams winning the World Series. As I talked about last week with you, I think the Cubs are primed for a bit of a sluggish season this year. I just think with how young they are and how they won it, it would be natural for them not to be as dominant as last year. I think also for the Red Sox, I mean, best laid plans. The Red Sox fans know the teams that they have come into the season with the highest expectations have not been the ones that have perennially won and won big. And also, you could race through the regular season in baseball. You could win 100 games, 103 games or whatever, and then you hit the postseason and it becomes far more of a crapshoot, which is really interesting and exciting. I mean, last year in the World Series, look at the payroll differential between the Cubs and the Indians. The Indians had a 3-1 series lead and, you know, really easily could have locked that one down and won the World Series. We would be talking about 109 years for the Cubs. So whenever it seems too easy in baseball, it almost never is.
You know, and I wish that I almost wish we didn't have the information that we have from places like UniWatch and Chris Creamer's site and so on, because I always remember watching like the first couple of days of Major League Baseball and bouncing around the different games to see what uniform tweaks there were. You know what I mean? Now we know, you know, we kind of know ahead of time who's changed their gear. But I don't know if you ever did that, but I remember I would watch games and see, hey, I wonder what they did with their gear this year.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. And especially before, you know, every game was just whip around coverage on MLB Network or, you know, the family of ESPNs, when you basically tuned in an opening day or spring training or whatever, and you're like searching for those little slivers of highlights. Oh, yeah, I noticed that. Oh, yeah, okay, that's kind of cool. Because now, yeah, you're right. Like the moment that you want any information, not only is it easy to find, but it's basically delivered to your doorway the moment that it happens.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, it wouldn't be a DA interview without a uniform note. Jumping to the NFL, we got word that the Lions have a new Nikeified uniform coming out before the draft. We've seen the logo. We know they got all the black out of their uniform. It was a sad day when that uniform changed to from the old Honolulu blue and gray deal. You remember, that was a beautiful gear. Now they've got something. We know that the black is out. Now, I went through the list of uniforms that Nike has changed, and pretty much every one of them has been a fail. I'm really hopeful here that the Lions are going to embrace the Barry Sanders tradition and kind of rock back to that. You know Nike's going to have something crazy in store, but I hope that this Lions uniform looks like what the Lions are supposed to look like.
Yeah, I know. When I saw that they removed the black from it, I was very, very excited. I said, okay, that's the right step forward. And then there's always a part of me that is a pit in my stomach because it's Nike and because they oftentimes just implode and never kind of understand the tradition and simplicity is what's best. But, you know, maybe they learned their lesson from what they have done to the Buccaneers and to the Browns and to all these other teams. I don't know. I can't trust them until I see evidence to trust them. But the first step forward in eliminating the black from that uniform is the right idea. And really, when you eliminate the black and you really look at that line is one of the coolest logos in the NFL and all of sports. How you can't, you know, just like highlight that and make that the centerpiece is crazy. So I hope they understand that, because when you really look at it, man, that Lions logo is tremendous. And the Honolulu blue and silver is perfect as well.
Yeah, so that's going to be very interesting to see what they did to it. I went down through the list. They've done about six or seven of them now, overhauls, and the closest thing to decent, I guess, would be the Vikings. I mean, it's better than what they had, but still the Vikings isn't as good as what the Vikings used to be. You know, the original Viking gear. If you want to make some purple, you know, britches are fine. I think maybe the Seahawks was a little bit of an improvement. Maybe, you know, I don't know. But certainly the rest of them have been, you know, the Dolphins is a disaster. The Browns, the Buccaneers is a disaster. You know, most of what they've given us is not very good. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with.
Yeah, I'm hoping for the best. I'm fearing for the worst. But, yeah, you know, as you mentioned, like, everything that they've tried to really overhaul and tweak has been definitely uglier. Now, maybe I'm the wrong person to ask about how an 18 to 21-year-old feels. You know, maybe there's 14-year-olds all over high schools everywhere that love all these jerseys. I don't know. But for my money, it's so funny that Nike keeps trying to rebrand and redesign everything to kind of, like, validate its you know, its costs, you know, the fee that you pay Nike to redesign things. They need to validate it, because if they just went back to what it looked like in the 70s and 80s, they would really be bringing nothing to the table. But ultimately, if Nike, the true aesthetics of the game, almost always simplicity is better. And everything that you just mentioned is all these things becoming more complicated and convoluted and modernized and gross. And, you know, I wonder where this thing stops. I was so happy to hear that John Mara last year said, no, we're not going to do the Nike, you know, red on red color rush garbage. And he said, I'm putting my foot down. And I would love the other owners to realize that as well. And, you know, maybe that Dolphins throwback uniform that the fans love and that everybody goes gaga over on social media, maybe that's the first symbol to Nike. Like, hey, you know what? If we just go back to the old ones and, like, make them look clean, then we could become the heroes. I mean, I wish that that's the way they were starting to think.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they come up with. You know, I know that there's a 5-year rule when they make a uniform change. It has to stay that way for 5 years. I know people in Cleveland who are literally counting down the days and the games before the Browns can return to their throwback gear, basically, or their original gear. So it'll be interesting to see how this one comes up. But, you know, we'll see. I know there's 4 uniforms. From what I was told, there's home, away, alternate, and color rush. So there's 4 uniforms in the kit. But the logo that they put out is the exact logo that we know from the 80s, 90s, and up to 2009. So, you know, hopeful that maybe that'll be the deal. All right, man, appreciate you as always. Tremendous work. Damon Amendolara, if you're not hearing him on your station, make sure you check him out on the CBS Sports app. You can always get it there as well. DA, thanks, man.
You got it, Big Dog. Anytime, man.
All right, appreciate you. It's Damon Amendolara.
All right.
All right, we're going to break it in. We'll come back with more after this. You're listening to The Tom Abraham Show. It's a Reaction Monday. It's a President's Day. It's 7:30, 103.9. Yep.
7:30 and 103.9, The Ump. More sports. It's time for 60 with Cole Kubelik.
I have a message for all the fans who complain about All-Star games, whether it's the NFL, Pro Bowl, I think the NHL has an All-Star game, Major League Baseball All-Star game, or the NBA All-Star game, and the events surrounding it. I think we have lost sight that these are exhibition games and events. It's for fun. It does not decide who competes for a championship. It's to entertain fans. And if you don't find it entertaining, well, you don't have to watch it. I'm increasingly hearing more and more people say, change the format, do something different, make it more competitive. The design of an All-Star game is not to be competitive. It's to entertain fans, put players together that aren't normally together, and facing against other players they normally don't face against. Calm down and enjoy greatness.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump.
When visiting Gatlinburg, the first place to stop is downtown. Traffic light number 5 at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies. Voted one of the top 5 aquariums in the USA and the world. And top destination to see penguins. Explore the amazing aquatic world close up. Marvel at 12-foot sharks, a giant sea turtle, thousands of exotic sea creatures, and playful penguins. As you enjoy the most spectacular state-of-the-art underwater tunnels. Touch horseshoe crabs, jellyfish, and stingrays. Play in the new 3-story Discovery Treehouse and Play Center. Ride Uber Shark Lagoon in the new glass-bottom boat. And coming in June, see mermaids swimming. Ripley's features 7 unforgettable unique attractions in the heart of downtown Gatlinburg. Sure to be the talk of your family vacation or weekend outing for many years to come.
And Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies is our sweet deal of the week. This Friday morning at 9, buy $45 tickets for just $22.50, which includes admission to the aquarium, plus admission to your choice of 2 or more of Ripley's other Gatlinburg attractions. The sweet deal of the week this Friday morning at 9. UmpSports.com.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. That's a website. Duh. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
At St. Jude, a family never sees a bill at all. It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't! It's so heavy! Oh my God! Ah.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us! We're over here!
Justin! OMG! He just looked... I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Brought to you by Lowe's. Start your spring projects today with huge deals at Lowe's Spring Savings Event. Like paint and primer starting at $17.98. Plus, get 15% off all style selections laminate flooring. Start with Lowe's. Paint offer valid 2/3 through 4/10. Flooring offer valid 2/15 through 2/22.
Just like springtime today, the sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 76. For tonight, mostly fair with a low at 53. Then for tomorrow and Wednesday, a mixture of clouds and sunshine both days. We'll have the chance of a few widely scattered showers. Highs between 73 and 76. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Get in the doghouse weekday afternoon starting at 2.
One of the great things about having both Colt Kubik and myself on the Ump is that you get different views, and you get different views that are sometimes colored by generation, maybe, and maybe style. And if you just listen to Cole's, Kubik and 60 deal on the All-Star game, and you listen to my rant earlier on the All-Star game, you get both sides of the coin. He joins us now on a Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline, Cole Kubik. Cole, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So I'm guessing that you recorded your Cole in 60 or Gone in 60 Seconds or whatever it is. I guess you did that after the show today. Is that right?
Yeah, I usually knock those out as soon as we go off the air, so right around 10 a.m.
Yeah, I do mine during the show, and then mine will air tomorrow morning during your show. I hear what you're saying about it. Hey, it's just fun and so on and so forth. But I look at that, what we saw yesterday in the All-Star game, I look at that as being embarrassing. I mean, that's an embarrassment to your personal pride as an athlete to go out there on the court and just stand around. I mean, you're old enough to have watched enough All-Star games to at least remember when guys would pretend that they were pairing up, look like they were man-to-man, a bunch of guys standing around outside the foul line while they're doing a layup line. I mean, come on, you got to show something. You got to bring a little something to the table, don't you?
I mean, I'd like to see some one-on-ones just to see, you know, somebody try to take somebody off the dribble. But I tell you, as harsh as we are in the media, if you're a professional basketball player, why would you put yourself in that situation? I mean, look at Steph Curry just standing around trying to get a rebound, and he's got a dude coming out of nowhere and catching that rebound and dunking it on him, and he's getting blown up on Twitter. Like it was something like he was actually up trying to defend the guy and he got dunked on, which is just not the case. So
I just
those guys don't pay to do that. That's not their role. And I wouldn't want to risk injury. I wouldn't want to risk not being able to help my team in the second half potentially go play for a world title. So I just don't blame them. And I mean, wishful thinking would say, of course, I'd like to see guys go out there playing full speed. And I can remember as a kid thinking, you know, oh, this Eastern team with Jordan and Patrick Ewing, and man, how is this going to be? But it was never really going to be that. I mean, I don't even think the dream team was really that. I mean, those guys weren't playing 100% the whole time. I mean, half the time they were cherry picking, and half the time they were picking their spots on how they wanted to score and when they wanted to score, because they didn't have to go out there and play the way they did on a nightly basis in the NBA. So I just don't think it's in their job description. I don't think it defines you as a player. Therefore, I just don't have a problem with it. I would love to see those guys going out there and, you know, Kevin Durant just, you know, trying to go out there and D somebody up and playing 100%, but it's just not reality. It's not what that game's going to be.
I don't expect 100%. I'd like some percent, you know, just any kind of percent. And what my statement to what you just said would be, if that's the case, don't do it. You know, because I'm of the belief once you step on the court, the ice, the field, the diamond, whatever, you know, you gotta represent yourself with some level of respect. And yes, there isn't the pride that there was back in the day when, you know, there was American and National League pride or pride in the American Conference or the National Conference in football or whatever it is. I get that. And I don't know what they make money-wise. I know in the NHL they make $1 million. They have that little 3-on-3 tournament. And I'll be honest with you, Cole, I would more enjoy to take those 24 players and break them into 6 4-man teams and do jumping jack, where there's 3 guys on the court, do half court, 3 guys on the court, and 1 sub rotating through, and give me a jumping jack tournament. You know, give me a tournament where they play games to 21. And I think if it was 3 guys and all of a sudden it's Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, you know what I mean? All of a sudden they might play with a little pride. You know, maybe we'll get a little, so they're going to hurt themselves, but I mean, maybe it would be a little bit different, and it's $1 million winner take all, you know, $250,000 a man, winner take all in a little jumping jack tournament. I think that would be more fun because the game sucks.
You know what the difference is in your analogy that you just brought up with the NHL? Most of those guys need that money. None of those guys in that All-Star game need that money.
I don't know. I mean, they make a million. I don't think they really need it. You know,
are on max contracts, getting between $20 and $30 million a year, and have been for a while. Those guys make legitimate life-changing money.
Maybe they were being a little pride.
Some guys in the NHL, there are, but most guys in the NHL have not made life-changing money yet.
Yeah. Well, maybe it would bring some pride, you know, some pride to the table. Just something. I mean, I want to see something, you know, if you're going to do it. Look, LeBron changed it. It's just like now guys don't do the home run contest. They get some of them and whatnot. LeBron changed the whole aspect of the, slam dunk contest by never doing it. And the thing is, you know,
he signed a $10 million power deal out of high school.
I know.
$10 million.
I know, but you know what? Michael Jordan was making $30 million a year in the 90s. I mean, before there was a salary cap.
The slam dunk contest.
He did that slam contest for a lot of. How many years did Michael Jordan do the slam dunk contest? And Julius Irving did this.
You think? By the way,
I tell you what, Julius Irving did it. Larry Bird always did the 3-point shot.
Julius Irving was making $100,000 a year.
That's relative, though. Well, isn't it relative? I mean, you know. I'm just saying.
There's a large portion of this that we should be blaming ourselves, because we are so hungry for failure and so hungry to wait for one of the greats to slip up in any form or fashion that it's not worth the risk to those
then
guys.
Then don't do it. Then don't kill the whole damn weekend. Give them a weekend off. I mean, if you're going to go out there.
LeBron didn't do the slam dunk contest. That's what we're talking about.
No, I'm saying, I mean, the whole thing. That'll kill. If you're not going to have the best. I remember slam dunk contests that had Dominique Wilkins and, I mean, you'd have 4 out of the top 10 players in the NBA
Tom,
in the slam dunk contest.
Tom, Brown got a rebound contract the day after the slam dunk contest. It meant something back then. It led to different things. These kids are going to get maybe Glenn Robinson III, he might pick up like a $250,000 Nokia deal or something. But he's not getting life-changing money from that. Those Spud Webb and Dominique and Jordan, they were getting life-changing deals from that. They needed it back then. That was how you marketed yourself. LeBron doesn't need to market himself. He was marketed coming out of high school.
Now, let's shift gears. We'll agree to disagree on that one. Let's shift gears. Brian DeBall, you know, we don't know a heck of a lot about the guy. We know some about him. 17 years since he coached at all in college, if you call GA coaching, and GAs don't coach. GAs, you know, laminate the practice, schedule and stuff like that. So for all intents and purposes, the kid has never recruited. He's never coached that way. Having said that, you know, there's been some attacks. Some of them have come from, a guy we call Mike Finnebaum because, you know, one of my guests calls him that. Saying that this is an uninspiring hire, this is a bad hire. I hate us, like we know more than Bill Belichick and Nick Saban or any of these other coaches. Like we don't know who can coach and who can't coach. What's your thoughts on the hire? Is this a terrible hire, or is this something you got to sit and wait and see how it shakes out?
No, you can't say it's a terrible hire because of what you just mentioned, the unknown. But we can also say it's not a great hire, and we can also say that there are legitimate questions with this hire because of the unknown. I think that when you look at what Nick Saban already has in place, did he need to bring in the elite recruiter? I thought going back that this hire needed to be someone with legitimate QB experience. Developing QBs had turned average quarterbacks into great quarterbacks. That's what I thought that this hire had to be. I don't even know if this can be that. I mean, obviously, he's been an offensive coordinator and he's worked with guys, but I don't know if he's legitimately just turned guys around mentally and emotionally, and I think that's the most important part of developing the quarterback. So, I mean, this hire legitimately is time will tell. I mean, I think that's the only thing that we can say about it because he has experience calling plays at a very high level. You can't take that away from him. I think that the Bill Belichick trust factor weighed in heavily with this hire. And I think Nick Saban wanting to go back to a little bit of a pro-style offense also had a lot to do with this. But if you're looking for something to win the press conference, which, hey, Saban did that last time, and he got him in a situation where he had to force a guy out. So I don't know if that's the direction he wanted to go. Maybe he didn't want a high-profile guy. He wanted less ego. We don't really know what the exact parameters were as far as what Nick Saban was looking for. Therefore, I don't really think it's fair for us to grade the hire as far as how it's going to fit with he and his staff.
Plus, we just don't know how a guy, you know, somewhere along the line, everybody has these first jobs. You know, this is going to be not his first job as a coordinator, but his first time as a college coordinator and a first time as a recruiter. For all we know, he might be an outstanding recruiter. We don't know. I truly believe in what Tommy Tuberville said in his 24/7 piece that he wrote, where he said you get hired and fired in college on recruiting, because there are a ton of guys that can X and O, and you know that. I know it because I spent a lot of time working with staffs at the highest level of the NFL and working with staff as a D3 coach, and we all had a lot of the same ideas. We shared a lot of the same X's and O's, but in college, it's about recruiting. That's the wild card here. You got Tosh Lapoy, but you lost three pretty good recruiters, and we don't know if Brian DeBall knows. I mean, he's got to go through all the testing and all that other kind of stuff just to know everything about the rules of recruiting, and we don't know anything about that yet with him.
No, and I spoke to Mike Petraglia, who is a part of WEEI up in Boston this morning, and he brought up a good point kind of along the lines of what you're saying right now, Tom, in that the one of the bigger questions in this hire is why? Why is Brian DeBall taking this job right now at 41 with 17 years of NFL experience, having never called plays at the collegiate level and having never recruited at the collegiate level? Why now? Why is he making this hire right now? I mean, I think is just as big of a question as anything else.
And how long he lasts. I mean, you know, and a lot of things were said about Lane Kiffin, but for whatever reasons, mostly because Kiffin's relatively unhireable as a head coach, I mean, he hung around 3 years. And they did go to three playoffs and two national championship games under his direction as an offensive coordinator. you know, when you think about it, you can go back through the list of, you know, OCs with Alabama from McElwain to Nussmeier to, you know, right on down the list. And in 3 years, it's about the maximum you're going to get anyway. Maybe with DeBall, it'll be longer, but maybe not. If they do a great job, who knows? He might be in line to be a head coach in some short period of time.
Well, and that's what we discussed on the show this morning, that maybe there is a route or a road where DeBall thinks this could lead to a big-time collegiate head coaching job. But the biggest question mark has to be recruiting. I don't think with the talent that's at Alabama, I don't think scheme is your top priority. I would think right now managing quarterbacks, especially if you're looking at having a true sophomore at number one, a true freshman at number two, regardless of the talent levels and regardless of what happened in one season, that how can you help those guys continue to develop mentally and emotionally and see the game better? If he can bring that to the table, sure. I mean, he's got some bullets in his holster right now as far as recruiting. I mean, the guy, he coached Rob Gronkowski. Gronk's going to say great things about him. He's got Super Bowl rings. He does have experience calling plays in the NFL. And what do all college football players want? To get to the NFL. So there are some things that he can bring to the table and sell. He just doesn't have experience doing it.
Well, he can also reach out to Tom Brady and have him make a phone call, too. I mean, and don't discount that whole thing. It seems to be the formula at Alabama these days is guys.
Dude in Michigan's probably got him doing that on a regular basis. So.
Probably. But even just to be able to say, hey, you know, you're going to get coached by the guy who coached Tom Brady. I mean, just you're talking to a 16 or a 17-year-old kid. You know, he said, this guy coached Tom Brady. Now he's going to coach you, you know, if you come here. You know, those types of things always play a lot in it. And I think he may be a fine coach, too. I mean, you know, he was an offensive coordinator in three situations in the NFL, but they were all, you know, terrible teams and in staffs that didn't really get much of a chance to develop into anything. So we don't know. The biggest thing is going to be, are they, you know, how much nomenclature change do you think there would be? I mean, I don't think this guy's coming in there and reinventing the offense 3 weeks before they go into, you know, spring installation periods.
I don't think, and by the way, Belichick has a lot of trust in him. We talked this morning about how he gave him the reins to call plays in the final preseason game the last few years. So he was grooming him to be the next OC there. I don't think from a route concept or type of plays, type of running plays, run balance, things of that nature, that it will be that different. But I do think it potentially will look different. Maybe some heavier sets, maybe not as fast, maybe different formations, things of that nature. So I don't know if schematically it will be that much different, but I think the basis of it, the foundation of the offense will probably start a little bit differently. Therefore, it will look different as far as how plays begin.
A lot of people say that Saban was the one, and they may just not have wanted to give Kiffin too much credit, but a lot of people say that it was Saban who told Kiffin, speed this thing up. We need to get fast. That it was Saban who suggested.
No, it didn't work that way. I talked to Nick Saban about it, and he told me, I brought Lane Kiffin in to change the culture here. I wanted my defense to face that kind of an offense every day. I brought him in for that reason. He had an experience in a West Coast offense. He was beginning to learn up-tempo offense, and if you listen to Lane tell it, he'll tell you how when Oregon hung almost 80 on him in the Coliseum that he and Sark started looking, he's like, we got to start doing this.
Right.
We're going to start doing this or we're going to get run out of the stadium. So they went up to Oregon and studied, and they went and studied under Urban, and they went to A&M and studied, and they started going to all these high-tempo, high-pace offenses, and they started looking at how they were doing it, and then they basically took their West Coast principles and installed hurry up, no huddle behind it, and then began to throw in some spread principles. It's one thing that makes Lane so great is that he's not just an offense. I mean, he really is a combination. I mean, he's like a Voltron of three or four different offenses.
He also had – he always had that one or two or three or four plays in a game where he really could identify a place to exploit, you know, a team. And that's the one thing that I didn't see – in the national championship game. There was never any one play. I guess there was that little halfback option play. And it doesn't have to be a trick play. It's just got to be, you know, something where you set it up with a jet sweep or you do something with a hitch and go off a jet sweep or whatever. And you can say what you want about Kiffin's arrogance, you know, throwing his arms into the air, touchdown and all that stuff. But he always had that thing. And that's probably what separated him a little bit as a play caller is that he'll come up with something to burn you. And it only takes a few, you know, to win a football game.
Well, even two, Tom, I can tell you this from going back and studying that group. Every big game they played this year, whether it was A&M, Auburn, Tennessee, the games that mattered, Ole Miss, they had a different wrinkle in the run game each and every time. And they would throw you a run look that you hadn't seen. They did it against Washington. Did it against Florida in the championship game. And there would be a certain style of run play that you had not seen the entire season. And most of the time they worked and got them pretty good yards. So Lane deserves credit for that. Brent Key deserves credit for that. Mario Cristobal probably deserves some credit for that. But, yeah, it was not just a let's run some motion, heave it up, and then call the plays that have been working all season because we have more talent.
Cole Kublik every morning 6 to 10 right here on the Ump. He and I coming at it from different angles, which is a good thing for you, the listener. All right, Cole, appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Tom.
You hear hip-hop on his show in the morning, right? Rap, hip-hop, Arky reading rap. It's actually a pretty funny bit. All right, let's get a break. We'll come back. Phone lines go open, 866-485-9867, 866-485-9867. It's the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039, The Ump.
The Ump, WUMP, 730 and 1039, The Ump.
Crazy, because...
This is Tiki Barber with a CBS Sports Minute. Thank goodness for the Sacramento Kings and New Orleans Pelicans. Otherwise, the All-Star Weekend from an at-home watcher experience was somewhat blah. Starting with Saturday's Skills Challenge, which might have been a challenge for a ninth grader, but wasn't exciting for a second. The three-point contest was, as usual, somewhat entertaining with Eric Gordon raising the trophy, but the slam dunk contest was just much of the same. What can I jump over next? The All-Star Game itself was a bit better, as the perceived beef between KD and Russ was wiped cleaner after a first-half give-and-go alley-oop. Anthony Davis rocked his home arena, scoring 52 points, an all-star record, and taking home the MVP. But then, a couple hours later, he welcomed a new teammate, the oft-vilified DeMarcus Cousins. I can hear the moniker now. We've got Boogie in the brow. Who knows if this actually works out for either team. But on the surface, it sure makes the 2017 All-Star Weekend much more exciting. I'm Tiki Barber.
When your battery loses its power, you lose your ability to get out, get around, and get things done. O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy to replace your battery so you do not get stranded. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the superstar battery that is an exact fit for your car. Whether it's a reliable economy, hardworking premium, or powerful extreme, O'Reilly Auto Parts has a superstar battery that you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
So you own your own business. Got small ambitions for this business? Of course you don't. Got medium ambitions for this business? Of course you don't. Who has medium ambitions? You got big ambitions. If you're a growing business with big ambitions, you want to grow with Grainger. Grainger has the products, the services, and more importantly, the commitment you need. Total commitment. If you're a growing business, Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I need them. You can't buy a best friend. You can love them, walk them, pet them, and care for them, whether they want you to or not. You can take a picture or 50. You can fly to the moon, travel the world, or just stay in bed. You can't buy a best friend like that, but you can adopt one. There are millions of pets waiting for a best friend just like you. Help us save them all at bestfriends.org.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me.
Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Howdy, I'm Aaron Tippett. I've been blessed to be able to make a living at what I love, making music for more than 25 years. But it didn't get there overnight. There were a lot of long days and nights of working just to make ends meet. Good things in life don't always come easy, but when you sweat for what you want, it makes it even sweeter when you get it. So remember to work hard, and when the opportunities present themselves, you got to be ready to grab them. This message is brought to you by the United States Air Force.
Our tweets are elite. Follow the Ump on Twitter at UMP Sports.
Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. Coming up on Saturday night, we have our first suite night down there at the TOC Huntsville Hospital suite, the ICE suite, courtesy of the TOC and the Huntsville Hospital. I'm so stoked about getting down there and taking in a little bit of Havoc hockey from ICE level next week. Now, I've got Hollywood's name. Hollywood, I think, already went and got his tickets and got them picked up. I've got Vol's medic and Vol man, Undertaker. I need Undertaker's name. Undertaker, I need your name. And McKringleberry, I need your name. Okay? You were the guys that need your names for this deal coming up on Saturday night. And I need confirmation that you're all going to go pick your tickets up and meet me down there for the game. We got another one coming up on March 11th. For Keith and Attractor, Fat Tuesday, Wolverine Dan, Ryan in Huntsville, and Badger Larry. All right, that one is coming up on March 11th, which is like Legends Night. Smokey, did you say Friday night is like hot dog race night or something like that?
Well, let's see. Wiener dog racing is this weekend.
Wiener dog racing on Saturday night?
Yeah.
All right. I'm stoked for wiener dog racing. Is there going to be a hockey game? That's all. I'm really fired up for the hockey game.
Hockey game, but in between periods, they'll have the wiener dog race on the ice.
All right, like that. Like the wiener dog racing on the ice. And if anybody who is on that list for this week can't make it, let me know so that I can do something else for them. Because, I mean, these are very valuable tickets, and it's great of the TOC and Huntsville Hospital Sports of making their suite available to us so that we can use it for this night. We're going to have a blast down there as well. And no, there's not free food and drink. There is popcorn, all right? But if you want, you know, they have dinner down there or whatnot, you know, bring a couple of dollars, all right, because I'm not buying. I might buy y'all a drink, but I'm not buying anything else. I'm just saying about that. All right, NASCAR, Saturday night turned into Sunday with the clash at Daytona, and we did a trifecta for it. And I'm going to tell you here, there was only 17 cars. I get that. But how about Jay in Athens? He had Smokey. He had Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, and Joey Logano. And with a half lap to go, he was 1-2-3. Until Denny Hamlin tried to slam the door on Brad Keselowski, who had gotten underneath him. And they both wrecked, opening the door for the 22 car to come through and get it done. So, having said that, Billy, I know the Undertaker. I got the Undertaker. I need Hollywood. So Billy, I'm talking to air. Smokey just sent me a message as to what the Undertaker's name is. I know the Undertaker. I need Hollywood's name. That's what I need. So Billy in Huntsville, he had Logano. He had Kyle Busch, who finished second. And he had Kevin Harvick, who finished fifth. First, second, and fifth. Billy, good job by you. Now, yes, the Daytona 500 will be in this week's trifecta. And our coverage of the Daytona 500 and NASCAR will be brought to you by our good friends at Bankston Motorhomes. We just had the big weekend down there at the RV show. So coming up in the next hour of the show, we're going to kick things off with Eitan Shander talking some Philadelphia with us. A little Phillies preview in the NL East. And then Tim Pakman, But a NASCAR report brought to you by Bankston Motorhomes. We'll be back right here on
730-1039 WUMP Sports Radio. The Op.
Join the Humidor Pipe Shop this Friday for a great cigar show featuring Crowned Heads. This fantastic, highly rated cigar features Four Kicks, Headley Grange, Jericho Hill, Las Mares, La Carime. All these tasty cigars are on sale with great swag to go along with it. Come have a great time this Friday for the first time Crowned Heads Roadshow at the Humidor Pipe Shop, Memorial Parkway Southwest, where, as always, you can smoke in the lounge.
NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have
any idea it was this easy to save money with First Family Mortgage. The banks are closed today for President's Day, but we're open and ready to help you put some presidents in your pocket with a quick 10-minute phone call to 4 Jefferson Lincoln, 0 Washington, 0 Lincoln, or if you don't speak money, that's 425-0105 or 1FMC.com.
Alabama next on the hardwood will take on the Georgia Bulldogs live from Coleman Coliseum. Tip-off is expected. Tip-off about 6 o'clock on the Ump with pregame coverage starting at 5 p.m. on your exclusive home for the Alabama Crimson Tide, the Ump.
Keep Athens Limestone Beautiful and the Tennessee Valley Authority will sponsor the 2017 Elk River Cleanup Saturday, March 4th. Volunteers of all ages are invited to participate in this effort and will meet at 8 a.m. at the Hatchery Road Boat Launch off of Highway 99 in West Limestone. Trash bags, gloves, and litter grabbers will be provided. And after a morning of hard work, volunteers will be treated to lunch, giveaways, and prize drawings. The goal of the annual river cleanup is to bring awareness to the importance of the Elk River. Each day, 14 million gallons of water is drawn from the Elk River, purified, and sent to our homes and businesses. Protecting our river benefits everyone. So join Keep Athens Limestone Beautiful and the Tennessee Valley Authority for the 2017 Elk River Cleanup, Saturday, March 4th. To find out more or to sign up, call 256-233-8000 and follow Keep Athens Limestone Beautiful on Facebook.
Hi, I found a toy dinosaur over on the playground by Smith Street. It had this phone number on it, and, well, I just wanted to make sure the dinosaur made it back to its little owner.
When I found the little sippy cup, I just had to give you a call. It's for a kid, you know?
I know my son gets super attached to the smallest things, even a fire truck, and I'd be happy to drop it off.
We'd do anything for kids. Yet 1 in 6 children in the U.S. struggle with hunger. Help end childhood hunger. Contact Food Bank of North Alabama. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Megan Hoffer, and welcome to Heartbeat. I must be one of the most responsible people in America, since I receive hundreds of offers for pre-approved credit cards. They go in the trash, so I won't have a credit limit equal to the national debt of South America. First, it was a regular card, then silver, gold, platinum, and titanium. What comes next? The entire atomic table of elements? But how much is enough? When will I spend enough to be satisfied? In the Bible, Paul teaches, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. True satisfaction comes from having God in your life and to trust Him for all your needs. Don't leave home without Him. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Think your child might have swallowed the wrong medication, gotten into your household products, had a reaction to a bite or a sting? Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. Save the number. Save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
There's a threat targeting America. Lyme disease. Spread by tiny ticks, this dangerous disease can cause life-changing health problems and is now more widespread than West Nile, tuberculosis, and HIV/AIDS combined. So it's time for us to target Lyme disease. That means checking for ticks when you've been outside and seeing a doctor if you experience the warning signs, which can include joint pain and flu-like symptoms. Learn how you can target Lyme disease at targetlyme.org.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying. Learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it. So can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The UMP. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus State.